legacy. For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Hello and welcome to the Brady Bros Boston Sports Podcast, where we cover everything in the Boston sports world. My name is James Brady, and alongside me, my brother Nicholas. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. Today is Wednesday. Yes, you heard me correctly. Wednesday, March 6th, and we are currently recording episode 21. James, you want to tell the listeners why we're recording on Wednesday?
We are recording on Wednesday because 24 hours now from now on Thursday, I will have significantly less teeth than when we were recording this episode because my wisdom teeth...
Maybe clarify that.
I'm going to be forcefully removed from my body tomorrow, very early in the morning, and I will be just in the sky somewhere. I don't really know where, but that is where I will be residing tomorrow. So we're recording today while I'm 100% sober. I can guarantee that. Tomorrow cannot guarantee that at all. So that is why we're recording on Wednesday instead of Thursday.
Yeah. And to those listeners who are thinking, man, I really wish that you guys recorded on Thursday so we could, you know, hear James while he's, as he so eloquently put it, in the sky. You're in luck. If you stick around to the end, or if you just want to skip there now, there will be some form, hopefully, of question and answers with James while he is, if you could say, coming off the anesthesia. So as soon as he gets his teeth out, and you know how they tell you you're not supposed to talk and everything. Yeah, so James and I are going to hop on a call real quick. I'm going to have some questions, some Boston sports related, some just life related, I think, because I think that could be really funny. So expect a 10-minute, however long I can get him to stay on the line. Expect that, hopefully, at the end of the episode.
I just realized I'm going to have to listen to our own podcast because I probably won't remember anything I say.
Yeah, it's very possible.
All right, we will move on, though, and start this show off the right way, as we always do, with the still 2018 World Series champion Boston Red Sox. Another week of spring training, which after each game, I kind of realized less and less how much, like, that spring training doesn't really matter at all. I just kind of realized that it's spring training, final score means nothing, and I have just started looking way more at, like, individual player performances. But real quick, if you want to run us through the last week of spring training action.
Yeah, so last Thursday when we recorded, that was the 28th. I don't know if we mentioned this. Nope, because we recorded in the morning last Thursday. Nice 13-5 win over the Washington Nationals. Friday, the 1st, lost 4-3 to the Minnesota Twins. Saturday, 9-1 loss to the Baltimore Orioles. Sunday and Monday were split squad games, Sundays being against the Twins again, in which we pulled out a 9-7 victory, Mondays being against the New York Mets, where we won 9-3. Tuesday, another game versus the Nationals, we took that one 8-4, and then just earlier today, Wednesday the 6th, a 6-1 loss versus the Pittsburgh Pirates. And going off your, you can't really look too much into spring training. And you're absolutely right. I don't even think you can really look that much into individual player performances, even though we did that just last week, because it really doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just kind of the player performances could allude to, you know, regular season performance, but the final scores mean almost nothing. I mean, here we are 2 weeks into spring training. Alex Cora is still pulling out guys that I've never even heard of before. So, It really is just a warm-up for these guys to, you know, get back into baseball shape.
Yeah, and also speaking of, we missed out because of, you know, the recording time last week being early. Bryce Harper, I know probably every single person that cares about baseball has heard of this already, signing a 13-year, $330 million contract with the Philadelphia Phillies. So I think that's safe to say that's the rest of his baseball career right there in one contract. But, of course, have to cover it just because it's such big news. I feel like we had to throw it in there. but don't want to dwell on that too much if you want to cover some of the other stuff we have here from this past week.
Speaking of our own superstars on the Red Sox, Dustin Pedroia could make his spring training debut as soon as tomorrow, right now, as we're recording, Thursday. But it's looking like it more than likely will be Friday. Dustin Pedroia says he's ready to go. He's really looking forward to, you know, getting back into it. I think he actually played last year in something like 3 or 4 games. Definitely was not 100%, was not himself. Hence why, you know, it took the rest of the year off and everything. Like I said, Pedroia is ready to go. I think Alex Cora is going to be the one, obviously, who makes the decision as to when he gets to play. Thursday, there was some speculation because Thursday, I guess, so tomorrow, is going to be a nationally televised game for some reason. It's just the way it is. So he doesn't want that much attention being brought to, you know, Pedroia and whatnot. So I think that's the reasoning behind waiting until Friday.
Yeah, and I mean, this is just exciting for Boston fans. You know, we've seen Pedroia has been such a big part of the Red Sox, you know, ever since he, you know, started his career here. Has been on the, you know, 2007 team, 2013 team that won it all, 2018 team, obviously, only playing 3 games last season, though, and it's pretty clear that he's really been struggling with that injury. But now, hopefully, you know, making a comeback, it's going to be, you know, in spring training, it's going to be a lot about, you know, watching how long he's on the field, how he handles workloads, make sure he doesn't overpush himself. You know, it's just spring training. If you need to take him out, take him out. It's very clear that Cora is not afraid to do that with anyone on the field. So I'm just excited to see Pedroia hopefully back in action, healthy for the season. Would be amazing to have him and just really expand upon the depth that the Red Sox already have at some of these positions. And just another, you know, great guy, a staple of this team, in my opinion, at this point, just to have back on the field available, even just available to use, I think is a really, really good step in the right direction for Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah, and I want to go off the availability piece here because, you know, assuming everything goes to plan moving forward, he, you know, gets back into spring training, he gets healthy, and he's feeling good by the regular season. How do you work him back into the lineup here? Because, you know, the Red Sox are one of the at that point kind of right now, like if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of thing. Like, you're coming off a record-setting year. You won the World Series. Like, how do you work, obviously a very big guy to the Red Sox, how do you work him back in without kind of disrupting the flow? Like, what do you think is going to be the mindset here going forward into the regular season?
I mean, I think you're going to look at a very similar, assuming he's healthy, a similar look to last year where we had, you know, Kinsler and Holt kind of going back and forth at the second base position. I'd expect to see Holt step up and take, you know, more of the primary role at second base and just kind of have, you know, Pedroia in there every couple of days. But I think you're absolutely right with not messing with the flow that these guys have, you know, the chemistry, you know, probably more used to having Holt at second base for a lot of these guys than having Pedroia there. So I'd say Holt steps up, takes the main role, and then Pedroia doesn't take necessarily a back seat, but kind of backs up Brock Holt, and then we'll see him every couple of games, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I would feel there'd be something very similar. Like you said, you know, many of these younger guys are probably more used to having Brock Holt in that position, with Pedroia missing the majority of, you know, the last more than year. I think this has gone on for 2 years now. You know, with him missing that much time, these guys are used to Holt. But that being said, with just the dynamic of this Red Sox team and everything, it's so nice to have, you know, a guy like Brock Holt who you can kind of move around the infield. And I think you're, like you said, we're going to see a lot of different combinations here, probably just to work Pedroia back into this starting role and, you know, his veteran role on this team.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that honestly, Pedroia is one of like the seasoned veterans on this team compared to how young a lot of the roster is. So would be a good guy to have out there kind of as a, you know, a team leader, some guy to look up to. But I think that pretty much wraps it up for Dustin Pedroia, and just hopefully makes a complete recovery, comes back and looks strong. Cause obviously it's been a very long time since he's been, you know, at his peak. It was very obvious that last year when he did play, he still was not 100%, only playing in those three games. But if you have anything else to add on here before we look at the week ahead.
Well, just briefly in the you know, the scheme of it being transparent and recovering, covering all the news here. Steven Wright is going to be suspended for 80 games for a PED violation. Now, I don't know how I didn't hear about this because supposedly he had already appealed this. So this wasn't like, I don't want to say breaking news, but like it came as a shock to me because I hadn't heard anything previous to this.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. I didn't really know that this was like an appeal. I thought this was just something new. So rip Steven Wright. We're going to be missing him for 80 games, PED violation. So, I mean, that just shows the league's pretty strict. That's half the season right there. But, I mean, I guess that's what happens when you violate those policies they have in place to keep the game fair to everyone, despite how they may or may not have been followed in previous years. But, yeah, so we will take a look at the week ahead now. Tomorrow, Thursday, the 7th versus the Minnesota Twins. Friday, the 8th at Baltimore Orioles. Saturday against the New York Mets. Sunday against the Tampa Bay Rays. And then the first day off, I believe, of since the spring training game started will be on Monday. So no games on Monday for the Red Sox. But then picking the action back up on Tuesday versus the Detroit Tigers. Wednesday against the Twins again. And Thursday against the Tigers again. So, I mean, obviously seeing a lot of the same people. It's a lot of the same teams because there's only so many in spring training. But, you know, every week we're getting a week closer to baseball. We're now less than a month away from opening day. So it will be very, very exciting as we kind of round out the end of spring training. Opening day being on the 28th. So just will be
22 days.
A good time, man. It's getting closer days. Every single week. We're seeing a lot more. But today's lineup, I mean, including a lot of the guys we normally see in Benintendi, Betts, Moreland, Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, pretty much what we'd expect to see from the starting lineup from last year. So very exciting to see a lot of those guys back in the game, back in the swing of things at spring training. And like I said, getting closer to opening day every single day.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps up the Red Sox. We're going to get into a quick fact here with today in sports history, and then we'll segue into the Celtics. But on this date, March 6th in 1922, the famous Babe Ruth actually signed a 3-year contract with the New York Yankees at $52,000 a year. And to be honest, most of the facts I've picked over the past couple of weeks have had to do with, you know, the monetary value of teams, franchises, players signing contracts, just because it's so vastly different to, you know, Bryce Harper's $330 million deal or what. But obviously, you know, the 52 grand doesn't have to do with inflation. But still, just an exponential pay increase for these professional athletes over the last, you know, decades and, you know, even hundreds of years.
All right, and we will transition on to the Boston Celtics. And this past week, we'll quickly go over these games. So Friday, the 1st of March versus the Washington Wizards, we picked up a win there, 107-96. We had 7 players with double digits in the points column. So very good job there, just, you know, sharing the ball around, having everyone get involved and playing a role in a big team win. After that, Sunday the 3rd versus the Rockets, a 104-115 victory, and it kind of looked like through this entire game, the Celtics were no match for the Rockets. Rockets came out swinging, and Celtics were really never able to really, really get back in this one till the very end, but at that point it was kind of too late. And then yesterday, by far the biggest story of the week, at the Golden State Warriors at Oracle Arena, picking up a 128-95 win over, you know, what is presumably the best team in the NBA. Gordon Hayward dropping 30 off the bench. Do you want to just get into that now? Because that was a big, big game.
I mean, yeah, that was huge. If the Celtics had dropped this one, you know, we would be having a very different conversation right now. You know, going into this game, they had lost, you know, 5 of the last 6. We were coming off probably the worst week we've discussed on this podcast, just the most disheartening week. And man, did they make a statement last night, all firing on all cylinders, really. Just, you know, and I don't know if it's, we can probably attribute some of it to, you know, the Warriors having an off night. DeMarcus Cousins didn't play his best. Steph Curry only dropped 28. And I know that sounds like a lot, but that's probably around his average. But, you know, this is a guy who could easily drop 50 on you in a game. So, you know, maybe attribute some of this to the Warriors not playing their best. But, I mean, a 33-point win in Oracle is huge. And I think this really changes the momentum of the Celtics going forward here. You know, I think a lot of people have been talking about, you know, they have a 4-game road trip out west right now, and that's going to, you know, lead to some bonding, lead to some, you know, all these players getting to interact with each other, you know, all the time now, as opposed to just, you know, when they go for practice or games if they're at home in Boston. So I think this is really good for the team. And I don't think this one game, I want to be straight in saying this, I don't think this one game is enough to, like, oh, you know, we're back in it. Like, I know a lot of people are like, are the Celtics officially back now? No, I don't think one game can do this, even if it is such a big win at, you know, at Golden State. Definitely a step in the right direction, though. I mean, a big game nonetheless.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, talking about what is often considered the best team in basketball, you know, defending champions. And like you said, you know, they might not have had their best game, but the Celtics, you know, started fighting early and never really took their foot off the gas in this game. They went hard all four quarters, and that shows on the scoreboard. And a lot of the reports from Celtics saying, you know, we just went out there and played our game, had fun, which is something we've heard all too much about in the last couple of weeks. You know, this game's no fun, to we're having a ton of fun, we're just playing our game, we're bonding as a team. So I'm with you. I don't think this one game, you know, the Celtics aren't back, I guess, if you want to say that. But I do think that they need to use this to get their momentum rolling and really, you know, start making moves, try to push for that best, you know, the best possible spot they can get in the East, secure themselves for playoffs, and be ready to go.
Yeah, and I mean, I told you my thoughts. Like you said, the Celtics aren't back, but in reality, how big is this? How big a statement is this to the rest of the league? When you blow out a team like Golden State in, you know, their home arena.
I mean, I just think this takes it back to the idea that, you know, in seven games, the Celtics, they have the opportunity to pose a threat to a lot of teams in this league, and they've shown it being very close in games with Golden State recently and winning games against Golden State recently. So I think that this kind of gives a little bit of assurance to the fans that, you know, hey, the Celtics, they play their game, they can compete with any team in this league, which is very comforting. They just need to be able to play like this more often. And when it comes to a series of seven, they need to be able to play this way four times. They need to get that win four times to move on. And I think they need to keep the momentum up, but they need to also avoid burnout going into the playoffs. That's one thing I'm concerned of, is if they go on this big long run right before playoffs and then they just drop dead, it's going to be a real, real disappointing end of the season if that's what it comes to. But I think that, you know, it's obviously one of the biggest wins of the year, in my opinion. And definitely
I'd
helps
say,
out.
I'd say probably the biggest win of the year thus far.
And just, you know, assuring, I'd say, to the Celtics fans.
Yeah, and I mean, just taking a quick look. Well, we don't need to look at the week ahead quite yet. But I mean, like we said, still on the West Coast, we're going to see some decent teams. But before we get into that, you put this in here. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on this because I know my answer. But, you know, there was at one point some speculation. Is Carmelo Anthony a viable option, you know, coming to the Celtics? You know, he's still out there, supposedly still wants to play basketball, is not signed currently. I mean, just quick thoughts on this, really?
My quick thought is I sure hope not. I think we have the talent on this team currently to win an NBA championship, whether it is this year, whether it is in later years. And I know there's all this speculation with where Kyrie's going to end up, all this. I don't want to get into that. And frankly, I don't want anything to do with Carmelo Anthony. I think, unfortunately for him, his best years of playing are behind him. And if he wants to prove me wrong, by far, go ahead. But I don't see anyone worth trading away on the Celtics to pick up Carmelo Anthony.
No, and I don't think it would be a trade because he's not signed.
Yeah, you're right.
He is a free agent. Yes, that's how stuff works.
We trade him into free agency.
Yeah, just we're trading you. Yeah, sir, Stevens. The trade deadline. Yeah, we're firing you.
No, you don't have a job anymore. That's it. That's how it goes.
I believe we do have a roster spot open, and that's the reasoning behind this. That being said, I'm completely to you. I don't Carmelo Anthony. You know, back in basketball, even regardless of where he lands, I don't want him on the Celtics. I think he really should just retire. He's had a phenomenal career. We're talking, you know, a potentially future Hall of Famer. Even he needs to just. I think he just needs to retire. So no, absolutely, do not want him on the Celtics. James, if you want to take us through the week ahead, and then we can. Kind of look at the standings real quick. Not really much has changed, though.
Yeah, I realized we forgot to point this out earlier. Technically, this week still, or tonight even, as we're recording this, Wednesday the 6th, we are at the Sacramento Kings. I think that game tips like 10 or 10:30 just because it's a West Coast game. It's
10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, and then the week ahead from that. So next game is Saturday at the Los Angeles Lakers. A couple weeks ago, we might have deemed this like the biggest matchup of the year. The Lakers are crashing and burning and is the greatest thing single-handedly I have ever witnessed in sports. Monday, the 11th against the Clippers, still in LA. And then Thursday, the homecoming, once again against the Sacramento Kings in Boston. Should be probably one of the easier games, hopefully. But, man, I'm looking forward to the LA Lakers. I'm hoping they just fall apart even more. It's been amazing to watch as someone who absolutely despises LeBron James. This is probably one of the greatest things I have witnessed.
Yeah, and I mean, if the Celtics hadn't won last night against Golden State Warriors, like I said, this would have been a different conversation. But, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics, both teams, the Lakers more so, I think, because they are very quickly getting out of, well, they're out of playoff contention. They're not out of playoff contention. They're currently sitting out of the playoffs. But, you know, the Celtics and Lakers, both teams that are kind of itching to show, you know, we're still here type of thing. Not to quote the Patriots mantra from this end of the season, but you know what I mean. That being said, Sacramento Kings are sitting at ninth in the West, so, you know, they're in playoff contention as well. The Clippers sitting at seven. It's a very tight race. It's, you know, quickly every game is becoming very important for any team trying to or any team that is, you know, on the brink of that playoff line at the eighth seed. The Celtics still sitting, I guess, comfortably in fifth. We're 2.5 games back from the Philadelphia 76ers above us. We're 9.5 games back from the Milwaukee Bucks, who actually dropped a game to the Suns earlier. So we gained a game back there this week. That's pretty much it for the Celtics going forward. This West Coast road trip is going to be, you know, the Golden State game is huge. We've touched on that, but going forward here, I think these games are big as well.
Yeah, and when you say comfortably in fifth, I mean, it's looking like the very worst the Celtics can do is going to be fifth place, considering they are, you know, more than six games ahead of the Detroit Pistons, who are currently sitting at sixth in the East. So I'd say we've got at very least fifth locked up. Would like to see them move up more, but I know we've covered that at length in the couple previous episodes. So if you want to, you know, any closing thoughts or anything?
No, I say let's kick it to the Bruins, who are probably looking like one of, if not the best team in the NHL right now.
Yeah, and so quickly we will cover, as we always do, the past week, which, I mean, slowly the Bruins have really just caught my eye, and I know I've probably admitted several times I'm not the biggest hockey guy. I probably fall hockey the least out of the four sports we cover, but the Bruins just really a team to pay attention to right now and been fun to watch. you know, going to the Sharks game and watching the last couple games have just been a great, great team to watch and very exciting. And I know we talked about a team that dealt with a lot of stuff early on in the season, you know, perseverance, getting through that, and then here they are now. So Thursday the 28th against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are pretty much regarded as the best team in hockey right now, a 4-1 win, you know, looking like no match for the Bruins, and the Bruins really handling what was a very big game, you know, against one of the toughest opponents in the NHL right now. You know, maybe a likely playoff matchup even at some point, depending on how things work out. But Bruins doing a very, very good job with that game and you know, taking the dub 4-1. March 2nd, that was Saturday, against the New Jersey Devils, a 1-0 win. You know, so goalie, I believe it was Rask in net that night, you know, keeping a clean sheet. I don't know if they use that term in hockey, but I'm going to use it right now.
They use the term shutout, but good
shutout. Yep, whatever. I was close enough. Tuesday, March 5th against the Hurricanes. This was last night. An overtime win 4-3. A 2-0 comeback for the Bruins. So, you know, down 2-0, I think, in the second period and then started to come back. Pushed it up to 3-2, dropped the goal. So it was 3-3, went into overtime. You know, kept the streak alive.
A really nice goal. DeBrusk wins it on an aggressive forecheck behind the net, swivels around, passes David Krejci, who just, if you could break someone's ankles in hockey, he did it to the goaltender. I highly recommend going back and watching that goal. But I want to stop because you mentioned, you know, Tampa Bay regarded as, you know, the best team in the NHL. And, you know, it almost looked like the Bruins didn't break a sweat. Winning 4-1, again, not really doing a whole lot in the points column to say, but in terms of going forward, I think, and like you said, potential playoff matchup, really, really good to see how well the Bruins are playing. I mean, we're going on 6 or 7 weeks here where they have gotten a point in every game. We're up to 15 or 16 games now of straight points. The Bruins just on an absolute tear. And they are going to be a very fun team to watch come playoffs. I think we're looking at a legitimate deep playoff run for these Boston Bruins.
Yeah, and with the end of the regular season being exactly a month from today on April 6th, I mean, the biggest thing for me right now is burnout. Just they got to keep this energy up, and I think they're doing a great job of it. Like you talked about the streaks that they're on right now. They're playing incredible hockey against, you know, very, very tough teams. And like I said, they need to keep it up and they need to keep it strong. But, you know, with the last couple games really making a strong push to hold that second position, I don't know if you want to get into a standings rundown like we always seem to do.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about the Tampa Bay Lightning because we do have two more contests against them this year, those coming on, if I can pull it up real quick. Yep, those coming on March 25th and one of the last games of the year. The last game of the year, pardon me, a month from now, Saturday, April 6th. So we will see Tampa Bay twice more. And I think, you know, the Bruins playing probably their best hockey all year right now. And I think that these two future matchups against the Lightning could go a long way in kind of giving us an idea of what could happen in, you know, a playoff series with them.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm looking forward to those because two big indicators, you know, this is what we're up against. These are, you know, they're one of the best teams, if not the best, in hockey right now. So seeing how we play against them, gauging that, and like you said, seeing how they match up in a series that could come later down the line. Anything can happen. But also, if you'd like to...
Yeah, I can get into the standings now. I was kind of beating around the bush there. So as we mentioned, Tampa Bay Lightning still sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference, top of the NHL, really. 106 points. So the Bruins are now 17 back of them, sitting at 89. You can double-check my math there real quick if you care to. 17, yeah, that should be right. Toronto Maple Leafs sitting in third, 86 points. Islanders and Washington fourth and fifth, respectively, with 83 points. Carolina, Pittsburgh, Montreal bring up 6, 7, and 8. Quick update in the Western Conference. I guess the second best team, technically we're tied in points with them. In the NHL, the Calgary Flames, 89 points, sitting atop the Western Conference. San Jose Sharks, back on their feet against that, you know, that devastating game to us last week, I guess it was. 86 points, Nashville, Winnipeg, Vegas, St. Louis, Dallas, Minnesota bring up 3 through 8. And, you know, in both leagues, the 8, 9, 10, very close matchups. I guess not 10 in the Eastern Conference, with the Flyers being 5 games back of that 9 spot. But, you know, for other teams, going to be a very close playoff matchup. And, you know, as we wind down in any sport, really, the last month of the season is a whole lot of fun to watch, especially if your team has something on the line. Luckily enough for us, both the Bruins and the Celtics do seem to have those playoff spots locked down. But I keep saying it, and I don't want to wish away the season, but playoff hockey this year is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm really, really looking forward to it. Just the way that these teams have been playing recently, it's, you know, really, really something to look forward to. And speaking of looking forward to, we got this next week lined up here. Thursday, March 7th against the Florida Panthers. Saturday, the 9th against the Ottawa Senators. Sunday, the 10th at Pittsburgh. Tuesday, the 12th at Columbus. And Thursday at Winnipeg. So 3-game road stretch there to round out another, you know, busy week. 5 games this week, kind of just due to how we're recording this. But going to be a busy week for the Bruins. But, I mean, hopefully looking to keep these streaks alive, keep the momentum rolling, and just really, and I say the same thing for the Celtics, but really look to put themselves in the best possible position as they head into the playoff season.
Yeah, and I know if you want to touch on this quick, one of the new guys, unfortunately, for the Bruins, Marcus Johansson, suffered a pretty, I don't know how severe it is, but maybe you can tell me because you know more about it, I think, but a pretty severe injury, right?
Yeah, so it was actually revealed that through a test that he had a lung contusion, and I'm going to be completely honest, I'm not entirely even sure what that means.
Contusion is a fancy word for bruise.
Yeah, so, I mean, clearly got hit hard enough to bruise his lungs. It says he's being evaluated. I believe he has been discharged from the hospital. Was discharged today as we're recording this, and it says here that he will be reevaluated in approximately 1 week. So, but really sucks to see a guy that just came to this team, you know, just starting to, you know, get the flow of things in Boston, go down with an injury like this. We've already talked about the Bruins and injuries and everything at length about that, but wishing, you know, the speedy recovery to Marcus Johansson, you know, hopefully is back and in good condition for the end of the season, which it sounds like he should be with the reevaluation coming in only a week. It makes me think that there's a pretty quick, you know, recovery for this injury. So hopefully nothing too severe, and hopefully, you know, best case scenario comes back as soon as possible. But, you know, best wishes to him and a speedy recovery.
Well said. Yeah, looking like we keep saying, we're kind of just saying the same things over and over, but, you know, be healthy and be as close to 100% as we can for the playoffs. That being said, let's get into the Patriots. And the good news for you football fans, we have stuff to talk about this week. We are going to be going over some, you know, some more news from the Kraft case, some franchise tag news from the Patriots, and even we're finally going to do it after a couple weeks now. We've been talking about it, looking at the opponents for the 2019 season, because the full schedule should be coming up at the end of the month, if I'm not mistaken. But where do you want to go first, James? I'll let you kind of run this here with the Patriots. All right. Being
I feel like yours. We can rapid fire the first two. So updates in the Kraft case, basically Robert Kraft pleaded not guilty.
We don't have anything more than that.
He pleaded not guilty, which
breaking news
is a bold move considering what I've heard they have for evidence against him. Second thing, Patriots and franchise tags, they didn't use any of them. So once again, We have things to talk about, but it isn't much.
Well, but, that, I mean, we're talking about near now guys like Trey Flowers, Trent Brown, and Steven Gostkowski would have been, you know, kind of the main people that the Patriots would have franchise tagged. So they are all going to become unrestricted free agents. And we kind of already talked about that a couple weeks previous with, you know, who was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So just to bring it full circle, update you on that. And now opponents, or did you want to do the combine?
Nah, combine. Honestly, Patriots have what, the 32nd pick, so
I don't even know. The combine,
they might get someone I recognize in the first round. DK Metcalf is a god, and that's pretty much all that happened to the combine, as far as I'm aware. We can just move on to the opponents, unless you really have anything to add.
No, so let's. I'll just read them out quick, and then we can maybe quickly go through game by game. I don't want to do that because we're probably going to do it again in a few weeks, but maybe just an overall look. So quickly here now, for those of you who don't know how the NFL works, me, kind of, 16 games, 8 home, 8 away. So the home opponents, we are going to see the Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Browns, Steelers, Cowboys, Giants, and Chiefs. And then away games, we will see the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets again because you play your own conference twice. And then the Ravens, Bengals, Texans, Eagles, Redskins. And personally, I'm just going to input my thoughts real quick because I know, James, you're probably going to talk for a while about this, which is completely fine. Before you kind of shot me or rained on my parade, I guess, a little bit, at first glance for me, this is a pretty easy schedule for the Patriots. You're talking about the hardest opponents you're going to play are probably the Chiefs, most definitely the Chiefs in my mind, the Cowboys. You get to play those guys at home, road, you know, tough games. Could be the Ravens with, you know, that kind of newer looking offense. The Texans always seem to be decent. And as you mentioned before, we do seem to have a lot of trouble in Miami on the road.
Yeah. So I'll start off by saying the URL for this article is New England Patriots 2019 schedule, reportedly second easiest in the entire NFL. So I think you're completely right in saying that this is most likely one of the easier schedules we've faced in recent years. You know, being out of the AFC East, obviously we have very easy matchups there just with how those teams have shaped up. But I'll be excited, you know, see how the Browns play after, you know, really big comeback year. The Steelers are falling apart. Cowboys are the Cowboys. That's all I have to say about that. Everyone hates the Giants. I think that's pretty standard. Chiefs going to be another good game at home. And, you know, I could kind of go on and on. But, I mean, I think I can agree with that. It is going to be an easier schedule. But I feel like some of the teams we're putting off now, maybe like the Bengals or the Ravens that we know, we don't think too much of, possibly going to be bigger opponents once, you know, the year shapes up. And we'll kind of find out as time moves on, you know, when we are playing these teams, because there is a difference between playing a team like, you know, like the Cowboys or like the Chiefs in week one versus playing them in week 16. There's a lot of time between those matchups, you know, having the whole offseason to prepare versus having a week to prepare. And also, you know, finding out when our bye week's going to be. So I think it's good to just kind of get the rundown on what teams there will we will be seeing and not go too much into that, because like you said, we will kind of probably go into this again when we find out the actual schedule in terms of what weeks we are playing each of these teams, and also what week we have a bye week, and we can speculate on a million different things there. But I think pretty much does it for the NFL.
I mean, quickly, do we want to just go way too early? First glance, what's your record for the Patriots this year?
I was thinking we'd save this for tomorrow, but
I
could throw that in there. I was thinking about that.
Well, I know what you're going to say tomorrow. You're going to say 16-0.
No.
We're going 19-0.
It's happened. Well, almost happened. Almost happened.
Sober James, what do you
think? Sober James, I'll go 12-4.
I'm going to go 13-3. I said it before the podcast. I'm going to stick with it.
Now, do you want to say what teams you think we're going to lose to?
Okay. I think we lose to... I didn't think about this.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, let's do Chiefs at home, Texans on the road, and Ravens on the road.
All right, I'll go Dem boys at home, Chiefs at home, Eagles away, and Ravens away.
Chiefs for me, just because when we've seen them early in years, they blew us out of the water. What, this year or last year?
2 years ago, opening day.
Very first game, Alex Smith had the game of his life.
So did Kareem Hunt. Oh, we don't talk about him anymore.
Oh, boy.
We will see him on the Browns at some point at home.
It's true.
It is true.
You know, if he lasts that long. So the Chiefs, I think it's going to kind of be like a consolation prize to them, almost like, oh, yay, we beat the Patriots at home. We couldn't beat them in Arrowhead.
That's if. That is if.
Yeah, it's if they win.
We can probably like lure Andy Reid away with like some clam chowder or something. That'll buy us some time. That's right. It is mid-off season, and Andy Reid jokes are back, boys. All back right, in season.
That kind of wraps up everything, I think. Let's do the outro, and then we can literally put you... I'm not 100% sure how I'm going to record you. I will find a way, though.
You better.
I will think it over during my sleeping time, and expect an early call from me tomorrow morning, James. But
sleeping
we can.
Speaking of sleeping time, I'll have plenty of that tomorrow.
Yeah. Anyway, you want the show here?
All right. So that is pretty much gonna wrap it up. That was an interesting week. We definitely you know, put an emphasis on getting through everything because we have no clue how long this last bit's going to take. Could be like 3 minutes, which would be really disappointing. I'll be completely honest. Could be a lot longer. Who knows?
I feel like we should have undersold this segment probably.
Yeah, no, we've hyped it up way too much. Anyway,
yeah, this is going to be, someone's going to go through the entire podcast, be like, oh, finally, I can't wait. And it's going to be 3 minutes of you just laughing and probably some very hot takes if I had to guess.
Yeah. Anyways, if you did enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave it a rating on whatever platform you are listening on. Also, make sure to subscribe, once again, on whatever platform, because that way we can make, or you can make sure that you never miss another episode. You know, that will usually alert you when a new podcast comes out. You won't have to search for us every single week. That way it's easier. It should pop up right there. Right up front for you. You don't have to go searching for it. You don't forget about it. But if you do forget about it, there is always our Twitter. I will let you handle that because that is kind of your thing.
Yeah, the Twitter is at Brady Bros Boston. Tweet immediately when the podcast is up. So that's kind of the primary objective there. Secondary objectives, I would say, are just updating you on Boston news from everything. I kind of input my takes on other people's comments. I love responding to ESPN stuff just because I think they're very silly in the way they post on social media and just, you know, general sports news there. Anything else to say, James?
That's pretty much it. Once again, thank you guys so much for listening. It's been an interesting week here in Boston sports. Hopefully another exciting one in the future. We got lots of good, you know, coming down to playoff action with, you know, Celtics, Bruins, the Sox are almost back into it.
The Patriots,
half of the Patriots are in court. It's a pretty typical offseason for them, let's be completely honest. This is like far from the worst that's happened.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, I guess we will hand it over to future Nicholas and hi James for some hot spicy sports takes. That's gonna do it for us for now.
Input James here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Lord knows what this next couple of minutes is gonna be. See ya.
Hey guys, this is the segment where James is just out of surgery. We're gonna ask him some quick questions. Really don't know how the audio is gonna be on this because it's pretty bad the way I'm recording it. James, are you still there?
Uh-huh.
Oh boy, here we go. All right, so I've pulled up a couple of sports questions, and we'll get into a couple of life questions. I just want to see what your takes are right now. All right, James, first question. If you could have one of the current Red Sox players on the team right now, if you could sign him to a lifelong contract, meaning he will play out his entire career in Boston, and you know, retire there, who would it be and why?
JD Martinez.
Okay, why?
Because his nickname is Jumbo Dong.
All right.
And that's pretty badass.
All right, I like it. Next question. I know we talk about this a lot, but I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts right now because I think it'll be funny. What are your thoughts on Kyrie Irving currently as a Celtic? Do you think he's leaving at the end of the year? And if so, where do you think he's going?
He's an okay leader. And I feel like he's going to end up on the Knicks next year.
Well, that'll make ESPN really happy, won't it?
It would make them very happy, yes.
They could just get LeBron and Zion there. They'd have all their eggs in one basket, literally.
They would have, yeah.
Oh, that could lead us to our next question. LeBron just passed Michael Jordan last night for what I believe is fourth on the all-time scoring list in the NBA. What are your thoughts there? The Lakers still lost, by the way.
I think the Lakers are really, really bad.
You think who's really, really bad?
The Lakers.
Well, that's true. Good. I agree. And
I think that they're better off without LeBron.
Okay. I agree with that statement as well. Next question, just overall Bruins question. Do you think the Bruins will win the Stanley Cup this year? Or at least make an appearance, I guess, let's say.
Yeah, Bruins in six.
Over who? You're trying to think of a Western Conference team, aren't you?
I'm trying really hard, yeah. Vegas Golden Knights are coming back.
Bruins in six over the Vegas Golden Knights. You heard it here first. It is Thursday, March 7th, to timestamp that, 10:12 a.m. All right, and we asked you this question last night, but I'm going to ask it again. What will the Patriots' record be this season?
Last night I said 12-4.
How are you feeling now, just 12 hours later?
Oh, it's a 14-2 kind of season.
Okay, so who are we losing to then?
I was going to say nobody, but I guess that doesn't count, does it?
No, it has to be two people.
Miami away. And them boys at home.
You really think we're going to lose to the Cowboys at home, don't you?
I think America's team is going to be just yes.
Okay. Now, just an overall sports question, not having really to do with Boston sports, but if you personally could play one professional sport, what would it be and why?
Baseball?
You're a baseball guy.
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Like, a couple weeks ago, I had a dream that I was playing on the Red Sox opening day. It was pretty sick.
It would.
They got a lot of clout, so.
Okay. It'd be sick to play opening day, and you'd have a lot of clout. All right. Yeah. And finally, where do you want to go with your career, James?
My career?
Yeah, your career.
Yeah, I still don't know.
Still don't know.
I'm cooked and I don't have an idea.
Okay, that's a loaded question right now. I understand. It's tough. Do you have any closing thoughts? This has been pretty short, but I think that's probably good for you. You're not supposed to talk that much.
I don't know. Hopefully this is one of the better episodes.
Hopefully this is one of the better episodes. I would agree. You don't have anything else you want to say?
No, I'm pretty high, so I can't think very straight.
All right, I think you should probably get some rest.
Rest is for the weak.
All right. Okay, well, great segment here. This should close out the show very nicely. Thank you again all so much for listening. Hopefully James doesn't cut out too much of this because he did say some funny stuff. All right, we will catch you next week. Goodbye.